It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Oh, and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, coming to you from a lockdown situation here in Bangalore. This is Tariq joining you, along with Karan, who's in Hong Kong. Hi, Karan.
Hey, guys.
And who's, well, not really locked down, Karan, but are you guys still having to maintain social distancing and things like that?
Well, of course we have to, but that's tough in a place which is, the fourth largest populated land area in the world.
Well, this is, as a lot of newspapers have been saying, India's lockdown is the largest in the world anywhere, the probably the largest ever, and this is absolutely unprecedented. Which is also what we are calling our episode, Karan, because we are going to be talking about football in times like these, where football has gotten suspended, because it's been almost a couple of weeks now. Actually feels longer. It's been about 18 days, I think, since the English League got suspended and alongside almost all the other European competitions too, as the viral outbreak has spread over the entire continent and the world, of course. So Karan, how have you been coping? I hear that your recreational football game has also been shut down.
Yeah, pretty much. So yesterday we officially played our last game, and as of today, all sports complexes, gyms, etc., have also had to kind of close down, at least for the foreseeable future. So not ideal. We had to actually basically sign off on a somber note last night.
And that's the somber note that we kind of want to talk about, Karan, because the world has faced situations like these where football, especially professional football, has had to be suspended. But this probably in peacetime, this is kind of the first situation we are facing, and we don't know how or what will emerge at the end of it. But Karan, if we can sort of go back into history, maybe relatively recent history, as to what you have dug up for us on times when football went through times like these.
Yeah, I think probably what we can do is we can go backwards, and we can probably discuss the current situation to begin with. Like you said, I mean, this is absolutely an unprecedented situation. Never before has, not just football, but sport as such been stopped or suspended on such a global scale. So in many ways, it's kind of trial by fire for everybody involved, because even they don't know how exactly to kind of cope with the fallout that's going to happen on the back of the current scenarios. But the crazy part is, even with all these suspensions happening, you still have the A-League in Australia, which is taking place, which I still find quite shocking, because I have a colleague of mine who sits in the Sydney office, and he says that the situation in Australia is becoming dire day by day. So I still don't know how they actually are running the A-League. The Belarusian League is, for whatever reason, going to go ahead. I think they played on a yearly calendar where I think as of now just one round of games have happened, and there hasn't seemed to be any decision taken in regards to that league being suspended. So again, I think it's a pretty embarrassing call by the Belarusian FA, if you're asking me for my honest opinion.
Because everybody else has erred on the side of caution and sort of gone ahead and suspended leagues. But then again, Karan, one aspect that we have not talked about, or a lot of people are not talking about as much, but the longer this suspension and the lockdown goes on, players, managers have to completely reset. Players in particular, because a lot of their simple fitness regimes and things like that may be affected, which is something we're not thinking about right now, but might see consequences of when the game does come back.
Absolutely, there's no question about it, right? I mean, as players, when you enter a season, you have dedicated fitness regimes, like you said, not just in the beginning of the season, but through the season, the wear and tear on your body is kind of assessed, and accordingly, specialized training sessions are kind of arranged. So when something like this comes up, right, it just throws their entire schedule out on a whack, and you never know. Let's assume that football comes back in a couple of weeks' time, and it's going to be like, the players are going to take to the field ice cold with wherein they basically have.
It's not a couple of weeks, Karan. It's, I think, the minimum that it is there is about 5 weeks.
I was just giving example. But yeah, for all you know, it could even be 2 months from now. We don't know. But one thing we know for sure is when it does happen, the players are going to come basically,
out cold. I mean, it's going to be like that scene from Mike Bassett, England manager, where he accidentally, his assistant writes down Benson and Hedges in the call. Call Benson and Hedges out to come and play because he'd accidentally written the team on the back of his cigarette packet. And the way Benson and Hedges were in shape to play football, I think a lot of it is going to be like that when the game does restart.
True.
Okay, but Karan, now let's step back into time and look at weird situations where we had the game either suspended or affected, or maybe even going on through catastrophe.
Yeah, well, I guess it's fair to say that it's predominantly two major world events where football has kind of stopped on a grand scale, and I think we there won't be any second guesses to figure out which those two world events were. During the Second World War, for example, one of the biggest things to come out of that was they had to call off the World Cups in 1942 and 1946.
So Karan, you were saying there were events which are big events, and there were two of them. And you were saying there were wars, so I'm wondering which those could be. I'm just trying to
think. Well, you hang out with people in the Soccersons group long enough, I think people figure it out on their own.
Yeah, the Soccersons group is its own living proof of the Godwin's law that any discussion eventually veers towards the Second World War or Hitler.
But right now, humor is all we have.
So going back to that, Karan, during the two World Cups, World Wars, of course, World Cups also got affected, especially during the Second World War, because during the First World War, it did not even exist.
True. Yeah. So in fact, coincidentally, the 1942 World Cup was the two countries which had placed bids to host the 1942 World Cup were Germany and Brazil, and ultimately that was left unassigned. There is a story which goes that apparently during the war years, Jules Rimet actually hid the trophy in a shoebox under his bed, but that's still unsubstantiated to a large extent. So there's a little bit of a tidbit right there, but. When it came to individual leagues being suspended, the English league was suspended midway through the 39-40 season and was back in 1946-47. So that was a pretty long gap when technically English football didn't take place. I say technically because of my next point, where the English FA in many ways proved their shamelessness even back then, wherein they actually introduced something called as a wartime league and also something called as a war cup, which was a replacement for the FA Cup, which kind of took place during those years. And the excuse they gave was that it was going to be sort of like a more morale-boosting outlet for their workers, which is pretty weird considering a lot of people actually complained, saying that such large-scale gathering of people would actually pose a risk because it would kind of act as an easy target for the enemy. So
large-scale gathering of people being treated as a threat or a risk. Yes, Karan, it does sound familiar.
Exactly. I mean, this is basically social distancing in the 1940s. So, yeah, there you go.
Or other people asking for social distancing in the 1940s for very different reasons, of course, but the FA going on along with it. Just to add to your point, Karan, back in the 40s, one other interesting offshoot of football being suspended in the 40s was that women's football received a pretty big boost around that time because a lot of the women who were working at the factories who had replaced the men who had gone to fight the war, started their own leagues, and that's where a majority of the modern women's game as we know it was born. Although again, the FA in its classic shameless fashion would suspend women's football after after the game came back post the war, and a ban that was not formally lifted till I think the 70s, which is super weird.
True, but there you go. So something good came out of you know, the men's football being suspended back then, but again, unfortunately it didn't last very long.
And let's move forward a little bit more and talk about another place that you mentioned, Karan, where a little bit of a hotbed of activity in terms of the current outbreak as well. And our heart goes out to the people in Italy in particular, because they have been the hardest hit, including footballers, of course. But you had an interesting story out of Italy in terms of football suspension.
True, yeah. In fact, I'll come to the really interesting story in a bit, but when it came to during the Second World War years in Italy, the Serie A was actually suspended just for one season, that is the 44-45 season, and it was back in 45-46 season, because during the war years it pretty much went uninterrupted. The other countries where you know, football pretty much went uninterrupted was in Germany, where it was only stopped after the war. And back then it wasn't even called the Bundesliga, it was called something known as the Gauliga. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. And funnily enough, the team that was most successful during the war years in Germany was Schalke. Seems like they haven't been able to win anything since then. And
maybe 2021 could be their year.
You never know. You never know. And finally, in Spain, was the only country where there was no real where the effects of the war weren't really felt, because Spain technically were neutral during the war, so the Spanish league pretty much went uninterrupted. In fact, the only time the Spanish league was kind of interrupted was 3 years before the rather 3 years before the start of the Second World War, where the Spanish Civil War took place between 36 and 39, and that was the only time the Spanish League was suspended. So there you go. So a lot of so in many ways you can actually say that though it was such a catastrophic event taking place, football, like a lot of people say, even back then lived in a bubble in many places.
But as we are realizing, Karan, that it's kind of hard to keep ourselves in mental and physical shape with football gone, because it's been hard. I was speaking to Vishal just a while ago, and he had the same opinion. So it's been hard for soccer fans in general, and we can imagine how hard it would be for people to have to live without the game, which was a popular pastime at any rate. And let's get to the story about Italy, Karan.
Right. So, moving back now to the First World War. Now, the interesting part here is that the 1914-15 Scudetto was actually assigned. I say assigned because the league was actually stopped halfway through the season. It was actually assigned to Genoa. And to this day, Lazio actually are still fighting a case in the Italian courts, wherein they feel that that particular league title should be awarded to them, or at the very least, they should be named as co-winners along with Genoa. The reason being, back then, there was no Serie A the way it is today. It used to be mainly regional championships, and then, you know, the winners of the respective regional championships would play each other in a major final. So that final never took place, and with Genoa being one of the northern clubs, the way it works today in Italy, for you know, weirdly enough, they still had the sense of entitlement, and apparently it was awarded to Genoa. So Lazio to this day are still kind of, you know, fighting the case, like I said, for that particular Scudetto to be assigned to them as well. So that is a little bit of an additional little tidbit for when it comes to the First World War and football in Italy, especially at that point of time.
And whoever is fighting the case for Lazio, maybe they should also drop their card at Anfield just in case.
You never know. I mean, if he's successful, why not?
All right, Karan, so those are fascinating little instances and trivia that we hope will help us tied over a little bit of this podcast and football drought that we are going through. In the meantime, once again, for anybody listening, we hope you're all right. We hope you guys are maintaining all the necessary precautions and following the advice to deal with this entire thing. We're sort of all in this together, and the best we can say is just hang in there and stay strong, and hopefully this blows over, because this is like a blitz from the opposition and the defense is just about hanging on right now with sliding tackles and balls hitting the post and whatnot. That's about all the time we have for you on this special episode of Soccer Sense. Let us know what you thought about this particular episode, because we tackled something usually slightly different from our standard slate, Karan.
True, yes. Although it would have been nice to actually talk about something that's happening more present, in a positive sense.
But speaking of positive sense, Karan, you wanted to end with a slightly hopeful story. So let's hear about that one. It's a well-known story, but never hurts to repeat at times like these.
True, yeah. I guess in many ways you could say that this really, this next story really does kind of typify the beauty that football can really bring to people. So during 1914, when the First World War was in full swing, there was something known as the Christmas Truce that took place. And at that point of time, there was a football match which was played between the German and the British soldiers. And there was also a certain amount of exchange of gifts between the two of them. So that was, in fact, celebrated again in 100 years later in 2014, where the English FA dedicated a sculpture. And that ceremony was, funnily enough, attended by people like Wayne Rooney, Philip Lahm, and Gareth Bale. So if anything, I just hope, you know, if anything has to come out of this current predicament that the world is finding itself in, we can actually find a certain amount of humanity in each other, and you know, if things can improve, then we'll all be the better for it.
Absolutely. And somebody was asking me the other day that this seems to be the antithesis of the Bill Shankly quote that football, people say that football is a matter of life and death, but to me it's much more important than that. And a lot of people look at it in the sense, from the lens that maybe you were talking about taking football a little too seriously and things like that. But my interpretation of it always is that it means that the game stands for a higher ideal, and it's not just about the game, but what it adds to our lives is what is important. So like you said, hopefully when we emerge on the other side of this, there is some humanity that we discover, and the true meaning of that Bill Shankly quote.
True, I completely agree with that.
So that's it for this special episode of Soccer Sense. You can find us on Twitter at Sense Soccer, and you can also subscribe to us on any of the other podcatching platforms. We are on Audioboom as well, audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. This is Tariq signing off and urging you to stay within the confines of the lockdown along with Karan.
See you guys. Stay at home, please.
See you guys next time.